Well, good morning, everyone. Again, thank you for joining us as we celebrate the 5th anniversary since the inception of Firm Foundation Christian Church. Thank you all for coming. And today's topic presented is about the church and its purposes. The sermon title is taken from the latter half of Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. All things were created through Him and for Him. I'm going to begin my reading in Colossians 1, starting in verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthily of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God, strengthened with all the might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. As we read in verse 16, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and earth. God's point is that He is the creator of everything, that He is before all things, and without Him nothing is possible. The first sentence in the Bible reads, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Without God, we don't exist. Life is a gift from God with a purpose. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said to Peter, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Just a side note, the gates of Hades is another translation for the gates of hell. What Jesus referred to when He said build His church was not a building with four walls, but a people who believe and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Messiah. And yes, the building of the church is a place where believers gather to grow in their spiritual journey, to hear the preaching of God's Word, to partake in the Lord's Supper, to fellowship. The church is also referred to as the body of Christ, in which Jesus is the head. Or Christ is referred to as the cornerstone, in which believers, the church, are firmly planted. This is described in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. It reads, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The church has many titles or names in the Bible used to describe it, such as the body of Christ, which was used in our scripture text, the branch, the bride, God's flock, and many more. And a lot of times, believers, the church is referred to as God's sheep, and Jesus Christ being our shepherd. Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7 uses this description as an example. It reads, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. So with this sermon, I want to identify three purposes or roles of the church. First and foremost is to glorify God. Second, the edification of the church. And third, to make disciples of all nations. So in essence, the church shows an upward and inward and outward expression of love for God. First purpose, the upward expression of love, to glorify God. We have such a loving, merciful God. Praise the Lord for what He did for us by sending His Son to save us, for what He continues to do for us every day. And we sinners deserve nothing, but He continues to love us despite our flaws. And the question presented all the time by atheists is, if God exists, or if God loves us, why does He let bad things happen to good people? Well, the Bible says that none is righteous. None is good. We all have dishonored God. We all broke His heart many times. We all chose our own way rather than His. Yet He still loves us. He still continues to provide for us. And He still continues to bless us. Amen. The real question should be, how can God let good things happen to bad people? We're all bad. God chose to reveal Himself in the human body as Jesus Christ. And Jesus showed us love, compassion, selflessness. Jesus shed His blood for us, took the wrath that we deserve. He came to save the world through Him and for Him. He loves us so much that He gives us freedom. He gives us freedom to believe or not. He didn't make us robots. He gave us the ability to live freely. That's how much He loves us. But the reason we are here on earth, though, is to glorify Him, to serve Him. Our text reads, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. This spiritual inheritance, it's mentioned in 1 Peter. It reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Our salvation, believers, our reservations are set. God has a specific place for each of us. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise the Lord for His indescribable gift of salvation. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Jesus is the only way. He's the truth, the way, and the life. Jesus is the name above all names in which every knee shall bow. So how is your upward expression of love, friends? Besides coming to church using 1 hour a week, how else do you glorify Him? Because we could all do better. There are many opportunities to glorify God. The sad thing is most people don't. A lot of people just thank God for Fridays and that's it. Well, He deserves a lot more than that, friends. We have many opportunities to glorify God. Amen. Whether it's in our friendships, or at work, working unto God instead of men, praying before we eat, many opportunities to glorify God, many opportunities to put God first in our lives. Keep Him first in our lives. He deserves all the glory, friends. And He wants you to love Him and glorify Him in everything. Everything. A lot of times in baseball, you see a batter point to the sky after he hits a home run. But what about when he hits a single? Or when he hits a pop-up and someone catches it? He still did his best. You know, you should glorify God in everything. The point is to glorify God in good days and in bad, because we will have each of them. Praise the Lord. For He has a purpose in everything. The second purpose is the edification of the church. The building up of believers. Going back to our sermon text, in verse 10 reads that you may walk worthily of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God provides for His church. Jesus said He would never leave us alone. He would never leave us orphans. God provided us the Holy Spirit to abide in us, to guide us, to help us. And He also gave us His Word, the Bible, so that we can better serve His will. So we need to do our part to learn His ways, because His ways are not our ways. I just want to read a passage from Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 4. It reads, He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and get all and in all your gettings, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. The building up of believers is to be active learners. And God blessed His church with a diversity of spiritual gifts to equip us, to edify us in serving His ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 reads, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of saints, for the works of His ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. Christ is from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. As the church increases in grace and knowledge of God, believers become like-minded, not tossed to and fro with the doctrines of men, but through the Word and through the Spirit, We become to love the things that Christ loves. We become to hate the things that Christ hates. That's what happens. We become like-minded. We grow and grow and become more Christ-like. Becoming the light that shines through the darkness, serving as living sacrifices to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 read, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So to conclude this point of the edification of church, as children of God, do your best to take in His Word daily. He will help remove the ungodly things from your life. The material things will become less and less important to have or to collect. You can't take them to heaven with you anyway. So remember, friends, in your life, when your Christian walk, nothing stays the same. You're either growing or you're dying. You're either taking one step forward or one step back. You're either backsliding or becoming more spiritually mature. Use the example Christ gave us to help others, to love, to be compassionate, to overcome temptation. And our last point, to evangelize the world. Our final purpose of the church, the outward expression of love, evangelization of the world, to make disciples of all nations. I'm going to read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28-29. It reads, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His workings, which works in me mightily. Believers have been given a privilege and a responsibility to share the message of Christ, to give people a hope, and to help them understand that sin separates them from God. And the only way to God is through Jesus. There are many ways to hell, but there's only one way to God, through His Son, Jesus. The message of Christ can help people be sure of their salvation, that it's secure. And you can express your love for Jesus outwardly in many ways. Share your testimony. I can remember meeting a woman at a bus stop, and she shared her testimony, and it just moved me to hear how God worked in her life. It was just a great experience to just be a part of it and just listen to her. It was awesome. Do the same for others. Share your testimony. Be the example. Christ will see the fruits of your love and obedience and see how God has changed you. Psalm 40 sums up this, beginning of verse 1, reads, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry, and He also brought me up and out of this horrible pit, out of this murky clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it, and fear, and will trust in the Lord. That new song that He put in our mouth is the gospel of Christ. Sing it so the whole world can hear. God sends us into the fields to help grow the harvest, to help plant the seeds of Jesus. God gave believers the authority to build His church, not with brick and mortar, but with the Word. His Word. To conclude, most people heard the saying, knowledge is power. Well, it isn't. Because a lot of times people know what to do, but they don't do what they know. Whether it can be applied to anything. Whether you're driving on the streets. We all know not to go past 25, but we do it anyway. We all know not to eat that because it's bad for us, but we do it anyway. So therefore, knowledge is not power. But what is power is the ability to apply knowledge. And the knowledge that we want to apply to our lives is His. Praise the Lord. And the same reasoning can be applied to the seed. What good is a seed if it's left in its package? No good. It's no good at all. Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. This is an outward expression of love to Him, to follow His commands. Plant the seeds of God's grace and knowledge in others. The same goes with a Bible. What good is to own the Bible if you don't open it? Well, those seeds, whether they fall on hard surfaces or soft soil, the main point is that it's not left in its package. So go into this world and share the gospel, grow the harvest, and become soul winners. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank You so much for all the blessings You give us every day. Thank You so much for sending Your only begotten Son, Jesus, to save us. Thank You, Father, for everything. Thank You for using us to serve Your will. Thank You for placing it in Pastor James' heart and his family to start up this church, this congregation 5 years ago. May You continue to bless it. May You continue to help us grow in grace and knowledge of God. Thank You, Father, for using each of us as instruments of righteousness in one form, shape, or way. Thank You, Father, for any way You use us. Father, help us become better believers, better Christians, to serve You. Help us glorify You more. And in everything we do, help us keep You first in our lives, Father. Thank You for providing the Word for us, Father. Help us grow in Your grace. Thank You for shedding the mysteries of Your Word. May we use them and go out into this world and share a hope to others. Share it to the lost. Become soul winners to do Your work for You, Father. I just want to thank You in everything and glorify You in everything we think, do, and say. All this we pray, Father, in Your Son's only begotten name, Jesus. Amen. So I'll take this time to offer each other a sign of peace, and we'll have a brief communion devotional after it.